Hey, Michael Cavanaugh. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we are talking because you are coming for a show at Capital One Hall in Tysons, Virginia on March 8th. And it's called The Music of Billy Joel. And you'll be performing, obviously, you know it very well because you played in the Broadway musical Moving Out years ago. That was, you earned a Tony nomination for that too. So let's start there before we get to this show. What was it like doing the Broadway musical? Basically, all these great Billy Joel hits, bringing them to Broadway.
Well, I've been playing these songs my whole life, but I was a piano bar guy before I went to Broadway. So the level of detail was definitely much higher. And I remember the first time I had to play these songs in front of Billy Joel himself. And I'm like, man, I really want to make sure I'm playing these right. And I would go back and listen and be like, oh, that's how it goes. So I was very nervous, but Billy was always so cool about it. He was always so encouraging, always has been, and he made me relax right away. So, I will say every time he walked into the theater, I did the show for 3.5 years. Every time he showed up, I was certainly aware he was there. But I did learn to relax because he was so nice and such a cool guy.
So cool. And you said that you started as a piano man, a proverbial piano man. Where was this? I knew you grew up in Cleveland, but didn't you play in at piano bars in Florida, or was it Vegas where I'm trying to remember which one
Both.
where Billy saw you?
Yeah, I started in Orlando, then I went to Vegas. Billy saw me and he saw me in Vegas. He was coming into town for a concert, but he was in town a couple of days early. At that point, I had met his tour manager, Max Lubier, and we had become friends. And I was hoping maybe just to get to meet Billy one time and shake his hand. I didn't know it was going to turn into so much more. At
Yeah.
that point, I was not at all aware about a Broadway show coming out or anything like that. I just wanted to meet my hero. And Max surprised me before I was going to work, and he said, "Hey, I'm bringing Billy to hear you tonight." And I'm, at this point, driving to work, trying not to have a heart attack, right? So we set
No,
it
you mean
up.
a heart attack, tack, tack, tack.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. And it was really cool. It was amazing. It was a dueling piano bar. That's what I did back then. And the first time I met Billy, he got on the piano across from me, and we were jamming together that first time I met him. It was pretty incredible.
That's insane. By the way, now I'm curious, and we will get to the show at Capital One Hall in a second, but somehow we're moving chronologically a little bit. But either way, I'm curious now. What were in those early piano bar days, what were like your go-to Billy Joel songs?
Well, it's pretty tough to top Piano Man. If you really want to take the room over, put it this way, if Piano Man doesn't work, it's going to be a long night. I'll tell you that. But on top of that, if you had people from, especially from the Northeast, they would love Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, or they would love New York State of Mind. All the girls love Uptown Girl, of course. I would say other songs that were really big, Only the Good Die Young and You May Be Right. If somebody just got married and a bride and groom would walk in, maybe Just the Way You Are. And there's a lot of stuff. Billy's music, as you know, very eclectic. It covers a lot of areas. So many of his songs would be requested by people every night.
Absolutely. And what I when you what I always loved about Piano Man, I know everyone just thinks of it, sings along to the chorus or whatever, but I love the turns of phrases. Like instead of just the short, direct, easy way of saying a phrase, like instead of saying like when I was younger, it was when I wore a younger man's clothes, or you know what I mean? There's always it's a fun way that he they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but a better than drink alone. The turns of phrases in that damn song are like masterful.
Well, Billy is, he's an amazing lyricist. He is. And the funny thing is, he always kind of makes that his secondary strength when he talks about his writing, and his melodies are incredible too, and his chord changes. He always starts with the music, which is less common with songwriters. A lot of songwriters start with lyrics first. He starts with music, and the painful part for him is writing the lyric. And I think it's painful in a couple of ways. It's painful because the melody and the music matter so much to him that if he puts in a word that throws off his melody, if there's too many syllables, he'll beat himself to a pulp to get it right. And then the other part of it that's painful for him is this is a lot of emotional stuff going on here. Like when he wrote the song Big Shot, he was writing about himself. So he puts himself through a lot. when he writes these songs. So he's always said he loves having written, but he hates the writing process itself. You know, but people can relate to that, right? Because a lot of people have these same emotions. So it's, there's a reason he's, you know, going to be 75 and he's still selling out stadiums. He's a legend. Not a whole lot of people on the same list as Billy Joel, that's for sure.
No, he's, I mean, knocking on the Mount Rushmore of singer-songwriters, you know, whatever you want to do your list, top tens, whatever. I mean, he's Elton John.
Oh, he's on that. He's on Mount Rushmore as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, on there. He's right next to Paul McCartney, and yeah, he's right there.
Oh yeah, unbelievable. And real quick, I love that you just said about for Big Shot, he was basically looking in the mirror, basically writing about himself. And I love how he can be playful too. Like by the third chorus, it's like, you had to be a big shot. Like he's like, you know what I mean? He's goofing around.
Yeah.
You may be right. He just performed that to close out the Grammys and a couple of weeks ago. And that is a playful song too. I mean, I love how you just see him like smiling through the lyrics in a lot of it.
You may be right. Is actually, he said that's still his favorite one to play live. He's always been a big fan of the Stones, and when he wrote that song, he was thinking of the Rolling Stones. I mean, I could totally picture Mick Jagger singing that song.
Oh yeah, totally. And my wife and I always have a laugh because she said she first heard the Garth Brooks version. Of course, Garth did an awesome we danced to Shameless at our wedding because we grew up on Garth. But of course, Billy Joel wrote the original of that too. But yeah, I mean,
I remember what,
showmanship.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say I would come out the stage door when I was doing the Broadway show, and I would sign autographs every day, and I would hear almost every day people would say, I love the show, and I think it's so cool you did that Garth Brooks song. I heard that all the time. They didn't even know it was a Billy song.
Yeah. You know what, though? The funny thing is, they're similar showmanship, I think. Like, they're kind of like that fun that I'm talking about. Like, there's like a playfulness in both of their performing styles that I love.
There's no question about it. And Garth Brooks is what an incredible entertainer. He really is.
A different Mount Rushmore of country, but yeah, I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable. Changed the game, but Billy Joel changed the game as well. I mean, gosh, I mean, I'm just smiling thinking about these songs. Gosh, do you remember? I just mentioned that he played at the Grammys, but I remember when I was like an '80s, '90s kid, but I remember him performing "River of Dreams" at the Grammys. Do you remember what I'm talking about to say? When he paused, he would pause and he went, "Valuable time wasting here."
Oh, yeah. He always goofs around on that song. When he pauses, sometimes he'll go into like, na 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 na. Sometimes he'll go into Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger.
Oh, that's
sometimes
true.
He'll go into maybe like Respect and have Crystal from his band sing it. He always, there's always going to be a surprise on that one, which
one
is
of those
cool
pauses when he
yeah.
And I find it is what I've been looking for. And then there's long pause before in the middle.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's been, we've just been riffing on his amazing songs, and I'm sure a lot of these we will hear at the Capital One Hall. How did this actual show sort of come about? Is this like a touring thing you do with different orchestras in different towns, or is this specifically for the Fairfax Symphony here?
Oh no, we've done this with over 100 orchestras over the past 16 years. We started doing this in 2008, right after the Broadway show ended. I was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do next, and I was approached by the Indianapolis Symphony first, and they called my agent and said, we saw Michael on Broadway, and we really enjoyed his performance, and we would love to help them put together a show featuring the music of Billy Joel. And I was all ears at that point, because I'd been approached before that by the New York Pops, but we were trying to figure out how to get it orchestrated. It's very expensive to get these shows orchestrated.
Right.
But Indianapolis kind of had that in place, so we worked out a deal where I did the first batch of shows for them, and then I got to keep all the orchestral charts myself and tour the world with it. And we've been everywhere between California and Malaysia doing this show.
Awesome.
And it's been incredible. And, you know, since then we've launched more shows. You know, I launched a couple years later, I had launched the Music of Elton John show, and then Music of Paul Simon and James Taylor and Neil Diamond show. But you know, the Billy Joel show it's always going to be my home base. You know, it's where I came from. I grew up in Cleveland. I played in a top 40 band. You say you're an 80, 90s kid. You know, I played in a top 40 band. So we were playing everything from Paul Abdul to Milli Vanilli, right? We're playing top 40 stuff. And I was
singing as much of Milli Vanilli as they were.
Yeah, maybe more. I think more. But I was way underage. I'm this little kid. I started when I was 12, you know, playing in bars. And in the middle of these top 40 sets, it would come time for the ballad, and I would play like Honesty, or I would play She's Got Away. And people would be like, whoa, I was not expecting that. But hey, that's cool. And they started calling me like young Billy Joel when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And I always thought, and I don't know if I was just being a cocky kid, I always thought that I would get to know him. I didn't think that I would just meet him. I thought that I would get to know him. I didn't know that I would actually work for him. But it all kind of worked out, almost like a fairy tale. You know, I used to camp out in the snow for his tickets in freezing cold Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, wow. What was the venue outside of in Cleveland that you'd wait outside?
It was the Richfield Coliseum back then.
Okay.
In the 90s, actually, I think Billy Joel opened up the, well, it's not new anymore. It opened 30 years ago. It's had a bunch of different names. It was called the Gund Arena. Now it's where the Cavaliers play. I think it's called the Rocket Mortgage Field House or something like that.
So it was the basketball arena. It was the Cavs. All right.
Yeah.
So, 80s and 90s, then you were the one where Michael Jordan did the over Craig Elo, the Bulls win. The dagger to your heart.
I've had many daggers. Listen, I'm a Browns fan. I've had so many daggers to my heart. I you know, but yeah, that's certainly one of them. Yes.
But you got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so that evens out.
Yeah, we got that. We got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's a pretty cool thing, for sure.
That's cool. And I'm seeing here, shout out Stephen Reinecke. He comes on our radio show all the time because he conducts stuff at, you know, Kennedy Center and stuff. You worked with him at Boston Pops. That's cool.
I've worked with him at Boston Pops. I've worked with him at Kennedy Center two different times. Steve's a good buddy of ours, and he actually wrote a lot of our charts for this show.
What'd you do at Kennedy Center? Was it a Billy Joel thing?
Yeah, we did. We did our Music of Billy show, and then we did our Music of Elton show a few years later. Yep.
Nice.
Did them both.
I was lucky enough to see Billy Joel at Nats Park, I think it was. Or was it Capital One? I think it was, but Nats Park. Yeah, Elton John was Capital One Arena. Verizon Center, whatever that, like you're saying, they all changed names now. Saw Billy in D.C. He's unbelievable, and I'm sure you're just as good. Everyone has to come out to see this show. What else do we want to say? What else should we say about the show? Describe how it works with the Fairfax Symphony. Like, how many piece orchestra is going to be behind you? How epic is that going to be, kind of a thing?
Yeah, so, you know, we're taking these songs that a lot of Billy Joel's songs, it's easy to imagine orchestration. If you think about it on New York State of Mind, or if you think about it on Cecil Italian Restaurant, it's already there. And you know, maybe we turn it up more to feature the orchestra more. I've told people before, it's kind of like we're putting these songs on steroids, you know, but there's certain songs that might be less obvious. But when you think about it, it makes total sense. If you think about a song like Pressure, which is all synthesizers, but I don't know if you can hear this, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you think about that, that's very classical sounding. And when you hear the orchestra play it, it sounds like Beethoven. It's awesome, right? So they open it, and then we come with a bow. You have to learn to pace yourself. It's a really cool dynamic between the rock and roll world and the classical world. And it's hearing these songs in a new way, but at the same time, it's not like we're not throwing out what everybody loves. We're keeping it, and we're adding to it.
Oh, I absolutely love it, man. It's going to be such a good show. I think I have plenty to work with. I mean, you've given me some gold sound bites here, so I appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah, it's a blast. I've been doing the show for 16 years and I still get pumped about it. I still get pumped talking about it.
That's so cool. And by the way, I read that you have something where you can you see colors through music. What's that about?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, it's
if you don't want to talk about it, it's a medical condition.
No, I'm fine. Okay. Like I thought it was something everybody had. Like I didn't know what it was till I was 30. I've always seen music in colors. I see certain people's names in colors.
Yeah.
You know, forgive me. Your name's Jason, right?
Yeah.
Jason, so your name is red. I don't know why, but it is. So
it's called synesthesia.
It's called synesthesia, right? So different things, music notes, days of the week, months of the year. So like your name is red, but also the name Mark is red. So if I saw you somewhere, I might call you Mark, and you would be like, how could you possibly call me Mark? And I'm like, sorry, they're both red. It's weird. But when I hear music, You know, like if I hear a C, it's red. Or if I hear an A, it's blue. If I hear a G, it's brown. So it's like when I hear something on the radio, I kind of in my mind's eye start to see these colors, and it goes along with perfect pitch pretty well.
Okay.
That I can kind of immediately play something. And I
mean, oh, you got perfect pitch too.
Million notes. Yeah.
Way to slowly to slyly drop that one in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, once I realized what all this stuff was, I mean, I knew about the pitch thing when I was young, but when I learned about the synesthesia and that not everyone had it, I started looking into it. And a lot of people with perfect pitch also have synesthesia. And some people see shapes, some people see colors, some people smell things. It's like a cross wiring of the senses.
Wow. Well, now I'm curious. I have to ask then in our final seconds, what color do you see when you hear Capital One Hall in Tysons, Virginia? What would Capital One Hall be? What color is that?
Well, that's interesting to me. So it things like that are not normally colored, but the word capital seems blue to me for whatever reason. I don't know why. I've never thought about it, but when you say it, it seems blue. So yeah, locations don't necessarily have colors. Like I can't really decide what's going to have a color and what doesn't. Like not every name has a color to me, but Jason does.
Interesting. So, well, yeah. I think that's fascinating. So yeah, you're out there you're painting while you're playing music. I love it.
Pretty much, yeah. It's kind of like it's in the air right in front of me. It's almost like I can reach out and grab it. So if I hear I just kind of know what's going on.
Who am I to say that those colors aren't correct? I mean, you know, it might be, and you may be right. I may be crazy.
Well, but, my daughter has it too, and she sees different colors. So we argue, and she's like, "C is blue." I'm like, "You're crazy," and we laugh about it because we're both crazy, right? So, both of my kids also have perfect pitch. I think only my daughter has a synesthesia thing. My son might have it in a different way. I think he might see shapes.
Okay.
Like I said, it's just like it's a cross wiring of the senses or something. I don't know.
Yeah, all these beautiful minds all over the place.
I guess so, yeah. I don't fully understand it myself, to tell you the truth.
It's really, really cool. I think it's fascinating. But awesome. Well, thanks so much. Again, Michael Cavanaugh is going to be playing with the Fairfax Symphony. The music of Billy Joel at the Capital One Hall in Tysons, Virginia on Friday, March 8th. So, yeah. All right. So we can actually say Friday night you'll crash our party and Saturday we'll say we're sorry, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait to do so.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
You got it, man. Take care.